Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to welcome you to worship service with the Highland Heights Church of Christ via a conference call. I want to thank all the brothers that have gone before me to make this worship service complete. And as our brother sung on just now, Christ said to us in Matthew 6:24, he said that therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So the word of God is that house, or that rock, excuse me, that we should build our house on. And that's how we ought to live. That's how we develop our character, through the word of God. I want to thank you again for joining us on this afternoon. As I like to start in our worshiping God, to remind us that we are here now and we're worshiping God. God is the object of our worship. And in those acts of worship, we find in Acts 2:42 and 47, those five acts being the apostles' doctrine, our teaching on the word of God, fellowship, sharing, giving to God, as God has blessed us in breaking of bread or communion with the Lord and in prayer. And then Luke wrote in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. So if you're on the call tonight, you've been invited to the call. We want you to know that we want you to be added to the Lord's church. And I'll share specifically what one must do in order to be added to the Lord, and that one is not saved, according to the scripture, until they are added to the church. And then one has to do that by being obedient to the word of God. On this afternoon, as was read in our hearing, we want to continue with our subject this morning. We spoke from the subject from 2 Timothy chapter number 1, where Paul said concerning his friend that he had Onesiphorus. He said concerning him, for he oft refreshed me. The word oft means often. He said he often refreshed me. So we want to stay with that thing as we look at our subject on this afternoon. This subject title being, come home with me and refresh thyself. Yeah, the king Jeroboam made that request to the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself. There are some things that we can learn from the word of God as we look at the subject on this afternoon, and may it be a blessing to you as we study together the word of God. In 1 Kings chapter 13, and the verse is number 1, the Bible says, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Excuse me. So we find that the man of God had come out of Judah, and he had God's word, and he went to Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Bible says in verse 2, and he, being the man of God, cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus said the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon it thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. So the man of God gave a prophecy to King Jeroboam. And then the Bible says for us in verse number 3, and he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and ashes, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. So this man of God that was sent to the king, he told the king about the future as it relates to the kingdom. He also let him know, I'm going to share with you a sign that the Lord has spoken, that this altar that you have is going to be torn apart. The ashes that are upon it are going to be poured out. And the Bible lets us know that as a child of God, in this case, we're talking about the man of God, but we are those that are Christians. We are children of God. We have to understand, we read that the man of God was one that was a courageous man. I'm saying to all of us, there are times when we are faced with situations that we have to show courage in our walk with the Lord. It took courage on the part of this man to challenge the authority of King Jeroboam. It took courage, and I'm saying to us, sometimes in life, do that which is right. That which we, when we find something in the Word of God, it is laid upon us to do that which is right in the sight of God. And sometimes, again, it takes courage. God cannot use, we talked previously about, God has not given us, in Second Timothy letter, first lesson, one of the first lessons I preached in Second Timothy, where God has said to us, we have to have courage when it comes to serving God. And I actually gave that scripture in a lesson in Second Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 7, where Paul reminded Timothy, for God has not given us spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I'm saying to every Christian today, when I become cowardly in my walk, when I become timid in my walk, God has not given us that spirit. Paul said that God has not given that spirit. And so this man, God, who came out of Judah, had to confront the king, let the king know, the altar that you have, this altar is going to be torn down, spit apart, and the ashes be poured out. I will read. It came to pass, King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against altar in Bethel. He put forth his hand from the altar and laid hold on him. Stop there. Because when we are doing things are contrary to what the world wants and what the world thinks, we have to understand there may be retribution from those, as we'll find in the text of King. People sometimes may get angry with us when we're doing that which is right, when we are saying those things that are consistent with the will of God. So the king said, because he cried against the altar that I have in Bethel, the king say, lay hold on him. I want to always remind us we are living according to the will of God to the best of our ability. We find in Peter's writing, in 1 Peter chapter number 3, and the verse number 12, which applies to the text that we're in now, text number 4 in 1 Kings 13, the Bible says, eyes Lord over his ears open to prayer. Face Lord against them do evil. Powerful scripture teaches me those that are righteous in the eyesight of the Lord, I am watching them. Only that, God's ears open, prayers, the face of the Lord against them do evil. If I'm one that mean to people, hateful to people, harmful to others, causing people harm, face of the Lord against you. Fine. Text, you know, Bible says, 4. said, "Stay whole." Put forth his hand from the altar. Lay hold on him. The Bible says, and his hand he put forth against him, him being the man of God. The Bible said, dried up so that he could not put it in again to him. The face of the Lord are against them that do evil. The Bible says that prediction, a prophecy that the man of God made in verse number 3 came to pass in verse number 5. Well, the Bible says the altar also was rent and the ash poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the Bible says, and the king answered, the king asked and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. So the king, whose hand dried up, he went now to the man of God and said, would you go before the face of the Lord for me? And would you pray for me, that my hand may be restored again? Yeah. We have to understand, I said this morning message, and the scripture is still applicable to this afternoon. In Romans chapter 12, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, verse number 17, Romans 12 and verse 17, the Bible says, reads, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Paul let them know, just because a person does you wrong, you don't do them wrong to get back at them. And then Paul writes, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. So Paul was letting those Christians know that if it depends on you, if it depends on me, as much as it depends on me, I'm going to live peaceably with everybody. Yeah, that's me. You don't recompense evil for evil. You know, the king had made a statement, grab him, lay hold of him. But what the man of God did not recompense evil for evil. How do we know that, Brother Stroud? Because we find in that verse, number 6, the Bible reads, and the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was before. See, we find in our Christian walk, there may be times where people do us wrong, but then they may also need our help after having done us wrong. And as we grow in this Christian walk, you have to grow to a level that people can do you wrong one day and you can help them out the same day. Yeah. So sometimes we can harbor that. But as Paul said, avenge not yourselves. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. You don't get back at people for doing you wrong. So we see here the man of God exercise what Paul wrote years later to the Romans. He besought the Lord, asked the Lord, Lord, if you would, even though he tried to do me wrong, I'm asking, Lord, that you restore his hand to as it was. And the Lord, as Paul Peter said, his ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous. And so God did what the man of God requested. And then the Bible tells us in verse 7, where we get our subject title from, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Yeah, we talked about this morning in a positive, where the word refresh means a way to give someone rest and free them from their tension. It allows a person to restore themselves or their strength to get relaxation. So he told the man of God, come home with me. Come home with me and refresh yourself. Not only that, I'm going to give you a gift. And so I want to say, the man of God resisted the invitation from the king. I'm saying to the Christian, don't allow yourself to be influenced by wealth to make bad judgment decisions. Yourself influence wealth, bad decisions. It says in verse number 8, God to the child with me, have not go in with thee. Will I eat bread, drink water? This place. Charge me by the word of the Lord. Bread, water. And again, by the same way thou camest to us. Turn your Bible, Corinthians, number 15. Corinthians 15, verse. Number 15:33. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, not deceive communications, good manners. I'm saying to us, to the young as well as to the old, don't fool yourself. If you hanging around bad people, if you going in to bad places, if you are doing bad things, what the Lord said through Paul, be careful. You can corrupt yourself. You can corrupt yourself. Yeah. As a child of God, share this with you. I would say to those that I work with in times past, when I worked at Harris County Sheriff's Office, I would tell some of the, I call them patients as opposed to inmates. I refer to them as patients. I would tell them, I would say, let me share this with you. Life is not that difficult. I said, what got you in here is your nouns. What keep you out of here is your nouns. They said, what you mean, Mr. Harvest? I said, well, nouns, and I would let them finish it. I would say, nouns are people, places, and they would say, and things. Yeah, we was taught that early in life. And I would say to them, the thing that got you in here was your noun, the people you with, the places you go, and the things that you do. You have to change your noun. Yeah. Stop being with the people you with, you've been with. Stop going to the places you go and stop doing the things that you're doing. But unless you change your nouns, you're going to keep coming back here. And I'm saying to the Christian, some of us have those. And sometimes our parents and our grandparents would talk to us, stay away from this person. This person don't mean you no good. You're going to get in trouble. And we don't, in some cases, change our minds until we get in trouble. Yeah. You don't have to touch fire to know that fire is hot. You got to learn as a Christian to be able to look, and even if I don't feel the heat, I see heat and I know it burns. The man of God would not allow himself to be burned by the king by taking in the flattery. Yeah. Sometimes someone trying, in this case, going home with him and refreshing himself would not have been in his best interest. That's my message this afternoon, those that are listening. Yeah. Sometimes be careful. Don't go home with everybody to refresh yourself. Be like the man of God. Resist the invitation. If you're not a Christian, the Bible teaches how one become a Christian. You have to hear the gospel, talking to those that are not Christians now. In Romans, the first chapter, we find that Paul, in his letter to the Romans, shared with them the importance. When he said that in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So he told them that they had to believe the gospel. You had to hear it and believe the gospel. In Romans 2 and 4, it tells us, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So not only must I hear the word of God, I have to believe that. Then I got to be willing to repent of my sin. God has been good to you if you're living now. Regardless of your situation, condition, God is still good. That should lead you to repentance. And then after I repent, then I need to do as Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter number 10. He let them know that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe with thy heart that God raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So part of becoming a Christian, I'm talking about now, how one become a Christian, is you have to hear the gospel, you have to believe the gospel, you have to repent of your sin, then confess what you believe in your heart, that God raised up Jesus from the dead. But that's not all that's required. You have to also obey that the gospel. The gospel is a three-fact. Verse number 16 of Romans 10. The Bible says, Paul said wrote to them, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. It, Lord, who has believed our report? So you not only have to hear the gospel, you have to obey the gospel. To become a child of God, to become a Christian, become a member of the only church you can read about in the Bible, Romans 16:16, the Church of Christ. Paul, Romans chapter 6. Because right now, you're in your sins. And that's why Paul said, what shall we say then? Verse number 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So right now, if you're on the call tonight, you haven't obeyed the Lord, you haven't been taught by some Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, you are still in your sins. It's what Paul commanded them to do in verses 3 and 4 in Romans 6. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus, baptized into his death. So you have to be baptized after you make confession that Jesus Christ is the God. You need to be water baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And then verse 4, the Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in of life. So now you have life. If you are water baptized, you are Christ into his death. And his blood is in the water, and that cleanses you of all your sins. And you rise a new creature in Christ. If you're and you are subject to the invitation, get one that invited you on the call so they can reach out to us so we can have you baptized on the day. I turn you over now to our song leader.